Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and I have a pretty exciting bit of news for us today. You guys know that we frequently do these interviews with dog people doing cool things for and with dog people. This is another one of those. You might remember Pilar Kuhn from our interview that we did at Westminster Kennel Club about her fabulous book.
Clean paws are very important for a Scotty, you know.
There you go. Which I know a number of you purchased and love. Well, Pilar is a multi-talented, fabulous human being who has been working on a project that I think is unbelievable. So, Pilar, tell us, how are you changing the entire flight industry for dogs?
Right. No small undertaking.
No small task.
No. So basically, most people have not known about our company called Casa Fairview Canines because everything we did was by word of mouth. We've been in business for the last 6 years as a registered Class T carrier with the USDA. And we got started because 7 years ago, we imported a Scottish Terrier for our own breeding program who came over from Sweden. And in the 4 months time that we had him with us, in order to get him sent back, they changed the rules and regulations and we had to have an agent to get him sent back.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I said, that concerns me because I don't think they really know how to handle a Scottish Terrier. And so I remember I even made a post on Facebook and said, I think I'm going to become an import and export agent for dogs, for the purebred dog community.
Right.
And from that, less than a year later, we were asked to hold on to a tricolored cocker bitch going over to Australia for a couple of days. And we didn't have to do anything except hold on to her and then turn her over to the agent who did nothing to get her ready. And I said, I don't think they understand that this bitch had gone winner's bitch at the National and Dust opposite at Westminster and is important. And so once again, I'm like, we need to do this.
Right.
So we got our property. We had enough acreage and license. We're zoned for heavy agriculture. So we could have more than a couple of dogs on our property and we wouldn't be at risk for anybody else's dog that came on our property. And we have an outbuilding that's our dog building. So they didn't have to be with our household if they didn't want, you know, to keep them safe, blah, blah, blah. Fast forward, business grew by reputation alone and word of mouth. Mm. Didn't have a website, didn't have a Facebook page, word of mouth. And I started to see how the industry continued to change. And my mom worked for American Airlines for over 20 years. So I grew up in the airline industry to begin with. So I had a very good understanding of how things work. But recognizing that there are challenges that are faced at the airports when we fly our dogs
mm-hmm.
has been an ongoing issue. And seeing how things were changing, I said to my husband, Rod, it would be in our best interest to become a member of IPATA, which is the International Pet and Animal Transportation Association. We were going to do that, and diagnosed with cancer kind of put a lot of things on the back burner. So I actually decided that we would wait until we got the all clear before moving forward. And that was last year in August, we got the all clear PET scan and we proceeded to move forward. Our business had grown and we had a kennel partner we were going to start working with that's right at the airport that could help with pickups and drop-offs and the overnight stays and a lovely facility that made it easier on us to continue to handle business because business has more than doubled every year
nice.
From an import and export standpoint. All of that comes together. So this past spring, we had a dog we were getting sent out to Australia and it had originated in Russia, spent 9 months over here getting its American Championship, going through all of the export procedures for Australia, which is a minimum of 7 months if all goes well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to put the standard poodle in its 500 crate to fly across the country. And the clerk at the station said that she thought the dog was too big for the crate and wouldn't let the dog fly. And this day I spent 3 hours on the phone going up the ladder at United, mm-hmm. going from supervisor to supervisor to supervisor. And I finally got a hold of one of the senior supervisors, managers. And in explaining the importance of this dog, getting on that plane to get here, the healthy amount of money that our client had spent to get the dog to this point, to have one person's opinion about the crate size for this dog. And I ultimately said to her, help us, help you, help us, because we need you. We have to move our dogs across the country. And my biggest challenge in importing and exporting, more exports than imports, is getting across the United States.
Right.
That is my biggest challenge. And so from there, we couldn't get the dog out that day due to timing, quarantine, international dateline, et cetera. We decided the dog needed to push out by another week. She went in the system, she marked everything in and went and typed in, this dog has to fly. This crate is pre-approved. This is all done. And a week later, when the handler went into the station, one of the other employees started shaking their head right away and went, she goes, this one is going. This one you don't have to worry about. And sure enough, dog got on the plane, got here. We got the dog out into Australia. It's been there. This was back in April. So the dog's more than settled into Australia. But a week later, I had another standard poodle.
Mm-hmm.
The poodles were the bane of my existence this past spring. And this one was going to New Zealand. And this one's coming out of Florida.
Right.
Again, shows up, 500 crate. No, we don't think it's right. Get on the phone. My senior manager wasn't in yet. I got a hold of another senior manager who then said to me, if she can get a 700 crate, I can get her on the next plane. I said, oh, you mean the crate sizes you guys don't ship anymore? He goes, exactly.
Right.
I said, if you will override that, then I'll do it. She can do it. We got to get the dog to New Zealand. Dog somehow miraculously gets on a plane, lands here in Los Angeles, goes to New Zealand. Wow. But through that connection, that particular senior manager said, I'm going to give you my cell phone number because we have to be able to work together to make this happen, because ultimately these dogs have to go. I said, yes, they do. We're not just dealing with Mrs. Smith wanting to fly Fifi on vacation.
Right.
We have the need to get our dogs from point A to point B and on to point C. But domestically, I started thinking about our community of dog show participants, whether it's confirmation or event performance. We get from point A to point B and have to get back to point A.
Right.
Or if it's breeding stock,
right,
we want to send a bitch off to be bred. We have to get her out to that dog. She has to come back most of the time. Or in some cases, someone's willing to send the dog to the bitch and the dog's supposed to come back.
And it's still a question of timing. Like, you can't just screw around with this, right?
Right.
Gotta go.
Right. We have to go. So, and then we were granted our membership into IPADA earlier this year. And that really did change a lot of the conversations that we were able to have. From that and from my two different standard poodles in the spring, I really started thinking long and hard about what are the biggest challenges that we face. Well, number one is the inconsistent opinion about the proper crate sizes for these breeds of dogs.
Yes.
That is the first and foremost challenge that they face. And my contacts, the airlines, agreed that that is the number one complaint that they get when a shipment is denied. And I said, well, my clients are mostly purebred dogs that are show dogs in full coat. So why don't I put together a tool that they can all access and see exactly what these dogs look like? Because if I have an Old English sheepdog in full coat traveling, it's going to look like Elsa. It's going to look like
Connor. Right, it's going to look like a lot of dogs.
Like these dogs, right? A lot of the dogs, if they're going to go to the Old English Sheepdog National Specialty and they want to fly, they're going to look like that.
Yep.
So I said, fine. You know, I have a whole other idea that can help mixed breeds, but that's not my focus. My focus is our purebred dog community. So I put together a tool called Canine Fit to Fly. And I worked diligently. I got great photographs that were great representations of the breed. And it's a free tool. And when I put that together, I contacted my contacts at United and Delta, American, and Alaska. And then I said to the executive director of IPADA, I have a tool that we've created that can help all the airlines. She then sent it on to the president, who is actually in Australia, and then the head of the global airline group within IPADA, and said, our IPADA member, Pilar, has put this tool together. Here you go. And so it started getting out there and started being referenced and used. Now, the thing is that airlines still currently, as of today, will say that ultimately it is up to the decision of the station to make that judgment call because they're the eyes and hands on the ground.
Right.
But that is also why I said, I have a solution. And so I've got something. Let's step in and see what we can do about this.
Did I mention dog people are fabulous? I'm sorry. I got an idea. I can fix that.
Well, but the other thing is that when it gets boiled down,
right,
we are the experts.
Right.
You are the expert on multiple breeds of what crate size is best for your dogs. My husband and I are experts in what crate sizes are best for Bouviers and Scotties. Granted, with our business, we're also experts in all the other crate sizes. But I'm going to trust my breeders that have their dogs that know better than, you know, the hourly paid employees at the airport that may not even know what a Laotian is.
Right.
And it's not saying that they don't know, but I said we have an opportunity to educate them. Mm-hmm. We can actually make a positive impact on the entire population by showing them what these dogs look like and by being the leaders of helping them get back to doing good customer service. Because you and I know, and everybody else listening, one of the biggest concerns you have if you have to fly a dog is not if they're going to take care of your dog, okay? It's really if you get to the airport and you have to catch a flight and somebody tells you they think that crate is too small for your dog and you have to catch a flight, you're headed off to the national championship in Florida, you have to get there, you've spent thousands of dollars to get there, and one person is telling you that they think that's the wrong crate size for your dog, and you're not going to go.
Right.
Or you're stuck in traffic 2.5 hours praying to God you can get there in time, and you've already fought traffic with that stomach churn and burn, and the last thing you need is to have that happen at the counter when you're like, I made it, and then, no. So when I presented to the airlines, I drummed up and explained all these challenges, because every single week I am at the airport. I am dealing with different airports. I am in the trenches every week with crates, crate sizes, water bowls, water crocks, paperwork, etc. It's what we do. So I said, we're going to put together a program called Canine Precheck because it's based on the fact that every one of our dogs has to travel, not wants to, has to.
Mm-hmm.
And I base it off of United Airlines with all that they've been through. And believe you me, they don't not want to ship dogs, but they can't afford bad PR.
Right.
They can't lose money because of someone's ignorant decision to put a French bulldog in an overhead compartment, which has nothing to do with putting your dog in cargo, however. Right. Or the unfortunate aspect of life is called human error and sending a German Shepherd and a Great Dane to two different destinations when one was supposed to go to Kansas and the other one to Japan, and oops. Right. And that's a scanning issue, right? I mean, like, it happens. It happens very seldom, but it does happen. And when it happens, it gets blown out of proportion. And we beg them not to stop shipping dogs.
Right.
Beg. So we put together this program called Canine Precheck that works with them. It works with the entire system of airline cargo. And in essence, we are the ones that are pre-checking the crate, the water buckets, the water crocks. How is that dog going to travel? Taking into consideration, they want to have a face shot of the dog every time they go.
Mm-hmm.
And who's responsible for that dog? But here's where it really boils down to our relationship with the airlines and why we're able to launch this whole new program called Canine Precheck. We are saying to the airlines that we're going to take it upon our shoulders to make sure that our dog show community participants are adhering to the rules and regulations as need be, and they will get the VIP treatment that we want for our dogs. You will be in the system. It will say this is a Canine Precheck client. And when you show up, that crate is approved for that dog because the employee doesn't want to lose their job. That's what it boils down to. So they're not going to lose their job because they've come through us. We're making the booking on behalf of our community.
Right.
So we go into the system and it's a membership that you pay to be in for a year. And it's a $150 membership fee. And we waive our small booking fees for the first trip that you make. You might want to enter in the system and only fly to Westminster. Fine, it's $150.
Right.
You aren't going to charge you a booking fee on the back end. But if you want to go to the national championship, Westminster, and your national specialty and fly those three times, it more than pays for itself.
Right.
It's a bitch. You want to send your bitch off for breeding. It's covered in that year. But we have to renew every year because we're trying to also stick with the airline regulations. Is the dog fit? Is it healthy? Yes. Is that crate still going to be used? It has to be that crate, has to be those water buckets, and we have to have pictures of it. So we know the dog can go. And most dogs may not fly more than 2 years, maybe three.
Right.
But the other thing is that down the road, you have another dog you want to campaign, and that's the crate you want to use. Well, we know that crate fits that breed of dog, so they're not going to bat an eyelash. And so it's taking all that responsibility from the employee, puts it on us, and we're saying to the airlines and the higher-ups, we're going to make this easier for you guys so you guys don't have to stress about it, and we can get to where we need to go. But you can't just sign up. We have to have proof that you have to get from point A to point B and back to point A or on to point C. So for domestic travel, for events, we have to have your entry confirmation. We have to know that you're entered at that show.
Okay.
We have to. And because most shows close 2.5 weeks out, well, you can book your flight, but until we can totally confirm it and leave it in the system, we have to have proof of that entry confirmation. Whether it's performance or confirmation, it doesn't matter. You have to enter. We have to know you're going. If it's a hunt trial, you've entered the hunt trial somewhere.
Right, right.
And you have to get the dog back. I mean, case in point, a toller left from California, flew to New York in a 400 crate, which is already too big for a toller.
Mm-hmm.
And the station in New York, when the dog was supposed to fly back, said that crate's too small for that dog and insisted it come back in a 500 crate.
Oh, my God.
I just rolled my eyes. And all these different individual cases have caused us to say, okay, how can we make this better? What do we do? And ultimately, what it gets down to is, no, it says in the system, I don't have to worry about this. I can go.
Okay.
Like, I don't have to worry about this shipment. And that's what we have the ability to do.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. Heads up, crew. Join our patrons today. Get immediate access to the support of a closed Facebook chat group, special patrons-only episodes, free mentoring sessions, and more. Just like the NPR of dogdom, Pure Dog Talk brings you the news, the knowledge, and the insight to succeed with your purebred dog. In exchange, our Pure Dog patrons share the love with monthly or annual gifts, and that helps defray the cost of overhead and sort of keeping the MP3s rolling, you know? Hit me up, laura@puredogtalk.com, and I'll hook you up with the details. And so you're basically signing up an individual dog. So in other words, I, Laura Reeves, sign up and say, I want to have canine pre-check, here's this dog, or instead of any dog I want to fly, right? So it's to the individual dog rather than the person.
Correct, because every dog has their own registration number, mm-hmm. which is in essence like their social security number.
Mm-hmm.
So we know for a fact that that dog is entered. And so when we go to do a lookup in the system, we can find it by the AKC number.
Perfect.
And it's not that you could go and look up my dog's AKC number and see what's going on, because it's only tied to information specific to that particular dog in that particular flight.
Okay.
So it's not something that's just wide open.
It's not available to the public to know that Joe Blow's flying in. Oh, no. Right. So the whole AKC restriction on that stuff.
Correct. Correct. Because, you know, we also want to respect people's privacy. You know,
right.
if you want to campaign a dog and you want us to handle your dog's travel for the entire year, you don't want people necessarily know where you're going to go.
Right.
And nor should they. Right. That's not anything. And it's like having your own travel agent for your own travel, but we're handling it for the dogs.
I love it.
So what we're giving to you is 2 membership cards per dog. And on that card, it has a picture of the dog, that face picture,
mm-hmm.
the name of the dog, call name, not registered name, and the unique identifier that they can type in if, for any reason, they don't believe it when they see it in their airway bill
mm-hmm.
and they want to double check and make sure that it's really the pre-check client. And that's probably going to happen a little bit more often than you realize because it's new.
Right.
And that's the one thing that we keep looking at. How will this play out when I show up at American Airlines and I'm putting a dog on a plane and the clerk there that I know might have a slight learning disability and doesn't type things in correctly might not see it.
Right.
And then we're able to pull it up and show them. Because if you're not current with the membership in our system, it won't come up.
Okay.
So it's not like you can just call and book.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't call with your own number because the airlines aren't the ones making the booking. It's coming from us because we're the IPOTA company.
Got it.
So you can't call up yourself.
Right.
You have to call us.
You call, I'm going to fly a dog to the garden. And I know I'm going to fly the dog to the garden. I pay my $150 peace of mind fee. And then I call, I say, this is what my flight is. And you take care of booking cargo. Is that correct?
Only cargo, and let me back you up.
Okay, good.
When you're traveling with the dog, the best thing to do is to get your dog booked on the plane first, and then you book your flight. Look to see what aircraft can accommodate your dog's trip first. Because you might decide that, oh, there's a fantastic flight, and let's say it's American, and oh, it's this fantastic nonstop, you know, from your neck of the woods over to any one of the three airports that service the Garden, Newark, LaGuardia, or JFK. Mm-hmm. And it's American Airlines, and it's an Airbus. I got sad news for you. American Airlines Airbuses are not equipped to take live animals.
Interesting.
So then you're like, well, crap, now I purchased my ticket, but I can't get my dog on the plane. What do I do? Then you're scrambling to find a flight for your dog. But what if American isn't operating anything on that route with planes that accommodate? You might have to look at another airline.
Right.
So you've got Alaska. You've got United.
Right.
Delta is currently not taking crates larger than a size 300. And
right.
I've been working with them on that. And, you know, they're working on their own things, too, from a different perspective. And, mm-hmm. you know, we respect that.
Right.
We do. We respect the choices because every airline's different. But, again, you have to get your dog to that location.
Mm-hmm.
You can fly on the same plane with your dog, or your dog can go without you and you get in the same proximity. You know, and I, trust me, I understand wanting to be on the same plane with my dog.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Right? I mean, that's
right.
what I do too. But what's more important is that your dog gets there and you get there. And if you have to be sensitive to your own wallet and budget, and you know your dog's flight's going to cost so much regardless, and your ticket, you want to spend less on your plane ticket, fine. But
right.
you need to look at getting your dog's trip booked first, because especially with these really large shows, you only have room for so many dogs per aircraft.
Right. And that's frequently a problem. I know I have had to book as early as, like, you know, August, September in order to get dogs to the Garden, because everybody books their two dogs and there's nothing on this flight that flies out of Portland and into Newark at 6 a.m. and you're like, okay, so I have to go in like 4 days early to get my dog on, you know?
Right.
It's crazy.
Now, here's another thing that we've done, and it is, but, you know, because we have a different visibility into the airlines, I have to say that United Airlines, with all the challenges that they faced, and as much griping as people might do, they truly are one of the best airlines for flying dogs, because the majority of their aircraft can accommodate more than just one or two. I mean, American Airlines, they do a great job, and I love my gals there, and, you know, the service that I've had, it's been great, but we're limited to the size crates we can put on those aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
We can't fit the larger crates, and now that United has lifted their no crates larger than 30 inches embargo, we're now up to 34 inches, which is technically a 600 crate or a 500 with an extender.
Nice.
So you know.
Nice. Okay. So I just want to make sure that the listeners are getting the clarification here. If you're flying your dog cargo, call Pilar. If you're flying your dog
right.
as quote-unquote excess baggage, book your dog's ticket, then book yours.
Right.
Got
Make
it.
Sure that there's room on the flight for your
yep.
dog first before you book your ticket.
Right.
There are only two airlines that allow you to book your dog as excess baggage, and that's Alaska and American. And
right.
American is only up to 100 pounds.
Okay.
You can't book your dog as excess baggage on United or on Delta.
Interesting.
So they have to go as cargo on United or Delta. They can go as excess baggage on Alaska or American, but only up to 100 pounds on American. And the other thing that I want listeners to realize is that whether they go as checked baggage or as cargo, they go in the exact same place on the plane.
Right. Right.
So there's that wondering what happens and where they go. They go in the exact same place on the plane. Yes, it might cost less to take them as checked baggage on Alaska and American,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, you're limited to the space. And if we have dogs booked as cargo, the cargo trumps the checked baggage.
Oh, interesting piece of information right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we've already booked in advance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So tell me more about how people are going to access this service going forward. And this is now up and running. Yes, I can call you tomorrow and say, book me a flight.
We are starting our pre-registrations this week.
Okay.
We're behind. We had a developer disappear on us. We were trying to be up and running by mid-October. So we're a little behind, but we're not so far behind. And this next week, we're tightening down all the final nuts and bolts, because I want to also clarify, we've negotiated lower rates for cargo on all of these carriers for our clients. We're trying to save our clients money.
Oh, hey, that's an important piece of news.
Right, right. And I have asked in some cases if they, you know, United already gives loyalty program miles. If you are a United Mileage Plus account holder,
mm-hmm.
when we book your dog, we can put that number in and therefore you can get credit for your dog flying. I've asked the same consideration from the other airlines so that our clients get more bang for their buck. you know, lower cargo rates. They don't have to have snacks or in-flight entertainment. They're spending enough money as is to get there. So, you know, trying to make it more affordable because it does seem like it's crazy. But from that perspective, let me show you the airline side. If they send a dog as cargo versus other cargo, we have to have so much space left around the crate so the dog can breathe. You can't stack anything on top of the dog because you can't per the live animal regulations, which is the IATA standards for cargo. So when you think that it's astronomical for cargo and they're going by chargeable volume, they're losing volume they could sell by having dogs.
Right. Because that is a finite space, right? So the idea of any business is fill your finite space as full as you can.
Correct.
And they aren't doing that when they're shipping dogs.
Correct. So those are some of the factors that go into why has it gotten so expensive. That and also because we all know from the news there have been liabilities.
Mm-hmm. And that's what makes everybody crazy. And I think the taking one piece of the peace of mind piece and saying, no, we've got this, this dog will for sure go no matter what, and we're your backup plan, that is reassuring.
Well, and other things that we've told the airlines we'll work with them on is helping them forecast their aircraft and their crews.
Right.
You know, we do know when we have these large shows happening,
right,
and I'm able to communicate directly to them, hey, the national championship in Orlando is coming up with event dates December 10th through the 15th. 9,000 dogs mm-hmm. participating with at least that many people, if mm-hmm. not a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives them time in their scheduling department that has nothing to do with dogs to say what kind of aircraft can we move around and change for our routing to allow for more people and dogs to get in and out. Can we increase the number of flights in and out for frequency, knowing that's a huge destination mm-hmm. at that time?
Mm-hmm.
And when I mentioned that, all four of the airlines went, that would be amazing. I said, but that's what we can do for you.
Right.
Because we're going to help you help us.
Right.
Right? That's the whole partnership in this, is we're helping them help us get our dogs moved around the country and ultimately the world. Because I want to go back and recap too. The canine pre-check program has come about because of our challenges moving dogs domestically across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have our imports and exports. We export more than we import, although we've jumped into the importation of our breeding stock because of changes that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we also are taking care of breeding stock. So if you had a bitch that needed to fly somewhere, in order to prove that that bitch has to get from point A to point B and back to point A,
mm-hmm.
I need to have something from your vet showing a progesterone test result that her progesterone's on the rise, or some letter from your vet stating that this dog has to travel for breeding. Because remember, it's all about just having proof that the dog has to go.
Has to be somewhere. Right.
And if it's an export dog, I've got an import permit. I have an okay to forward. I've got blood tests that prove this dog is supposed to be leaving the country. If the dog comes in, I have what's called a live job aid form that comes in that customs requires in order for us to clear it with our broker without having any issues. So I have proof this dog came in.
Right.
So the dog has to get on. And we have different crate sizes. We had an incident where we had a dog come over from Australia in a PP70, which in essence is a 700 crate. But it was like a tall version because it's slightly different dimensions.
Mm.
They allowed the dog to go on at the time because they considered it a move, even though it didn't come in on that airline.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't say it was a through trip.
Right.
But we had proof that the dog came in. It wasn't a in and out. It was a permanent move. So they let the dog get to its final destination.
Interesting. Okay, so here's just logistically kind of final question for people. So say I'm flying to the garden, Pilar, book my wire hair pointer to Newark, and I'll book my flight to Newark. And how the hell am I getting my dog?
When you get there?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not responsible for putting your dog on a plane. That's up to you, honey bun.
That is my question. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Like, how do I get to cargo? How do I get my dog from cargo to me? You know, because the beauty of checked baggage, of course, is that it's there at the actual terminal. So getting to cargo is something you have to plan for and have your rental car or your limousine service or whatever it is, your car service that's picking you up, be able to get to cargo.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. That's exactly right. So, you know, like Newark is not the best example of an airport because United PetSafe is right there in the terminal. So whenever you have your dog checked in as cargo, you get off the plane, get your bags, walk over, get your dog, and you go.
I like that. I didn't know
that
even.
But not every airport but, you know, I'm staring at a list of every single station that United has in their cargo warehouse address. Mm-hmm. Some of them are airport check-in counter and some of them are an air cargo facility. We have that information. It's actually available on their website. So that's not something that's, you know, proprietary information.
Right.
But again, you know, this is where you can go to pick up your dog.
Right.
And, you know, American Airlines, they all have their own stations. But in essence, what we're doing is we're saying, we trust you guys to know how to ship your dog mm-hmm. best, but we're helping intercede so you have the right paperwork, you have the right booking, you know when to get there. You're going to pay at the counter the discounted rate. That's on you, mm-hmm. right? So you basically mm-hmm. we're saying you still get to handle your dog the way you normally would, but with more peace of mind, savings, VIP service. You get to walk in and be like, oh, you're not just Joe Schmo.
Right.
You're Laura Reeves. Welcome, Laura.
Nice.
Good luck at the garden.
Nice, right.
Because they'll be able to see, if they want to, where you're traveling, because that is tied to that event.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck at the garden. So they can call our number, 310-742-2242.
And we will put links to all of this on the website and the blog post and all of that.
Yes.
So.
But that number, if you hit option 2 for the domestic and canine pre-check, that'll ring through to anybody on our team that's taking those calls and registering people in the system
mm-hmm.
and be patient with us because I am very
staff up, sister.
And I'm bringing new people on. I'm bringing new people
staff
on
up.
That are learning and are brilliant and smart, but you know, I have a lot of this in my head. And earlier in the year, my father, actually, who was a professional project manager, came and spent a week with me to extract as much information as he could and put together an operations manual so that I could have more people come on board and start to help with the business as we've been growing astronomically, which I'm very grateful for.
Good job.
Yeah, thank you. But the other things I just want people to keep in mind is that making sure you have the right crate, whether it's a plastic Vera kennel, an East Coast crate, or an impact crate is important. We'll have to have pictures of that. If you have an older plastic Vera kennel, it might be in your best interest to purchase a new one. Plastic gets brittle over years. They've changed some of the sizing and dimensions a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Make it easy on them. 2 plastic water buckets, water crocks that screw onto the door are the best. We've had a lot of issues over the years with metal water buckets hanging. We all love our stainless steel. Pack it in your dog's bag to have at the show. But for the sake of flying, 2 plastic water bowls, containers. One would be considered for food and one would be considered for water. 2, not one.
Right.
2. Lixit makes a fabulous product. It's a nice sturdy plastic, not like those snap-in trays that are basically an obstruction waiting to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Chew toys.
Right? And these Lixit ones, they screw onto the door. You can get 10 ounces for the smaller dogs, 20 ounces for the larger dogs. That's my recommendation. That's what we're basically requiring everybody to have at this point going forward, just because it makes it easier.
Perfect.
And the snap-in trays, like, yeah, snap-in trays. I don't know. Sorry to the manufacturer of the snap-in trays, but, you know. If they
terrible.
Were made by Kong, it might be something different.
Right.
Even then, Kong toys get chewed up.
Right.
And, you know, that's basically it. And then we have to have a picture of that, a picture of your face, so that if they questioned it, you're there. If there's anybody else, like if you have a handler or your handler's assistants, we can put them in as consignees so they can see as well who's there to pick the dog up.
Good.
So all that information is there. We have a safe, very secure server so where we can store information. I'm going to find out if they'll allow us to keep like a driver's license or a passport on file in case they needed that. You still have to show it.
Right.
Something else I've learned, though, you have to have a valid ID and it's not for cargo. It's for TSA purposes.
Right.
I had an incident where I had someone helping pick up a dog and her wallet had just been stolen the day before.
Oh, no.
And we had to get someone else shifted over with their name on the airway bill that met her at the airport, flashed her ID so she could take the dog because it has to be a current ID for TSA regulations.
Oh
we've learned so much. And everyone is slightly different, but yet it's the same.
Right, right.
So it keeps things interesting. But this has been something really exciting. And 6 months worth of working with the airline.
Unbelievable.
And saying, how can we solve this? And the other side of this, one of the things that early on was, why do we have to have a health certificate that's dated 10 days? Can we get an extension on that? And I will tell you that I went down that path, and a very interesting path it is. And I won't extend this out longer, but to boil it down, We are a member of the Small Animal Stakeholders Group at the USDA here in Los Angeles, and the port director did some research and found it in the animal welfare regulations, and then put me in touch with the director of animal care in Colorado. And she and I spoke, and I was chasing down subpart G record section 2.78 that specifically talks about having a dog checked by a veterinarian, a certificate signed within 10 days of travel, and the form 7001A can be that form for that purpose. So my initial thought was, well, if that's the case, and if that form says it's good for 30 days, then why can't we have that good for 30 days instead of 10? Well, right. Then I got shifted over to the director of live animal exports at the USDA, who's responsible for that form. And from that informative conversation of over an hour, it has to do with commercial transportation,
right.
Not personal.
Right.
But there's no current way to differentiate between personal pet travel and commercial travel. And commercial is for retail, research, or rescue/adoption. But there's no way to differentiate. So the airlines are sticking to their regulations that they have to, because there's no way to tell apart the differences.
Right.
So we can't change that right now. So thankfully, the AKC has a vet on site at the national championship that can issue current certificates for coming back. Because, boy, I've learned more about health certificates, et cetera, and import, export. I've learned so much, but, you know, baby steps. I'm going to solve the shipping world one day at a time.
Yeah, I think we've changed traveling with our dogs significantly enough for just today in the last 6 months. So, you know, I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Pilar, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I really, really appreciate your time. And listeners, there will be all kinds of contact information for you. So go to the website, pull up the blog post, and click the link, because it'll take you right to Pilar's site.
Yes, ma'am. It's exciting time.
It is. All right. Thanks a lot, babe.
Thanks, Laura.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.